Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and let me welcome you to the Word of Grace for Sunday, the 18th of September, 2022. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Sherbrooke, and we're delighted to welcome you to this broadcast. As you may recall, last Sunday, we reflected on the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. I'm very grateful to all who've expressed their appreciation of the broadcast. On my way to church last Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m, I was waylaid by someone at the local dépanneur who wanted to say how much they valued it, and others through the week were also kind in their appreciation. Some, indeed, in the past fortnight, have made their way to in-person worship at 10:30 a.m. at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, and we've been delighted to have them along as well. Today we will continue to remember the royal family and the family of the Commonwealth of Nations in our prayers. But to begin with, let's reflect on words from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and for evermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth?
Lift up your voice and clear the sea. Hallelujah.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, you sustain your creation. You are the source of life for every precious thing. You have given us more than we could ever earn or deserve, and so we offer you our love and loyalty, for without you, we would not be. When we despaired of ever being restored to health, you lived up to the name of Saviour, sending us your Son, Jesus the Christ, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And although his blood was shed in Jerusalem, you raised him to life, and now and forever he is our mediator in your presence, welcoming us with love and renewing us through the Holy Spirit. Generous God, you have enriched us with life worth living, but we confess we often squander your good gifts. We have wasted our time and energy, but held tightly to things we think we need. Forgive our foolish priorities, and those times we overlooked the needs of others. Inspire us to live more generously, trusting your goodness to sustain us always. While it is true that we have squandered God's good gifts, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ. Let us trust the mercy of God and be at peace with him, with ourselves, and with one another. Receive our worship this day, Lord. Speak to us in the sounds and the silence of this time, and amaze us with your promise of new life revealed in Christ, and your power at work in us and among us through your Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 16 at verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 3,000 litres of olive oil,' he replied. And the manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 1,500. And then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 30 tons of wheat,' he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 24. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Amen. On the whole, Christians have had such a reputation for being respectable upholders of law and order that the fact that Jesus was executed as a criminal has always been something of an embarrassment that has set us scrambling to explain that, in fact, yes, he was innocent, but he died for the guilty. Jesus would never approve of anything shady or unscrupulous or corrupt, would he? Or would he? Well, the parable we heard him tell in the Gospel reading is at least as problematic as his conviction sheet. There are two main characters, the rich boss and his rather shady business manager. And a quick survey of all the times that Jesus identifies a character in his stories as a rich man will convince you that he expects you to assume the worst of such a character. They're the ones who could get a camel through the eye of a needle sooner than they could be deemed fit for heaven. The business manager is described at the start of the story as having squandered the assets, whether through irresponsibility, incompetence, or dishonesty, we're not told. And then after describing him that way, he defrauds his boss. Jesus then labels him as dishonest. But then Jesus turns round and tells his disciples that on at least one count, they don't measure up to this dishonest manager and would do well to take a leaf or two out of his book. Jesus makes no excuses for the man's behaviour. Instead, he makes it quite clear that this is an example of a person from the other side, one of the children of this world, as opposed to the children of the light. But he is still clear that Jesus wants his disciples to learn something from this story. Jesus wants us to be as shrewd and creative in our thinking about how to do the works of light as the manager was in doing works of selfishness, greed, and deceit. What do we mean? Well, here are three F's to describe it. The first is that he uses faith to build a future. This manager believes in a day that is coming that there is a tomorrow that is worth planning and building for. He lived his life in anticipation of a day that is to come. And what do we call that? It is called faith. The ability to vision something that cannot be seen, to act in the belief that something is so certain to happen, you can act upon it, even if it's out of sight. That is faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Jesus uses the parable as a wake-up call to the people of the light. The way things are just now are not the way things are going to continue to be. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has defeated death and changed history. The day is coming and is now here when the light will shine. It has set in motion a chain of events that will bring history to an end in the one in whom history began, even God himself. This shrewd manager believes in the future. And this story is a wake-up call to the people of the light to act as if there were a future coming. Secondly, he uses finance to build a future. The manager uses his money, or rather his power over someone else's money, to plan for and anticipate and to build for that future he envisions. His faith in the future is evidence in the way he uses his financial power. The evidence of his faith was in how he used his money. And the application of the message is in verse 13. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Your bank account will tell you which God you worship. Your financial accounting will tell you what the priorities are in your life. Your bank account will tell you by its income and expenditure what it is that you value, the value that you place on what you value. Your finance will show how you're building your future in faith. Thirdly, he uses forgiveness for the future. Friendship with God is the future. How do we find friendship with God? How does God make friends with us? God makes friends with us by cancelling our debts, by writing down what we owe to God. He forgives the debt. Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer is quite specific. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So when faced with the imminent loss of his job, this shrewd manager stops trying to manage all the debts owed to his master and he begins forgiving them, discounting them, writing them off. Suddenly, instead of keeping people bound in the debts they have accrued, he's setting people free and giving them a new start. Now, the shrewd manager might be doing it almost entirely out of self-interest, trying to make himself popular to secure his own future. But the surprise twist at the end of the story is that he is even commended by his employer. But here is God's reckless and extravagant grace, that he who is honest and upright and righteous, even he forgives our sins, sets us free, and makes us friends with himself. How does he do it? Through Jesus Christ and his cross. Jesus is trying to get through to us with this story that forgiveness of the size and scale that Jesus wants us to practice is always going to be seen as suspect, as ethically unsound, as thoroughly disreputable. We have continued to invest heavily in respectability and law and order and decency and paying off our debts. But at the heart of our gospel is that God forgives our sins recklessly, generously, overflowingly. Wrongdoing is supposed to incur consequences. The wrongdoer incurs a debt and must be made to pay. For Jesus, this story is all about demonstrating the reckless, scandalous, and out of all proportion forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ and his cross. And if actually putting that into practice leads to accusations of going soft on crime, then so be it. Jesus will wear that and will go to the cross if need be. It is because forgiveness, reckless, extravagant forgiveness, really is Jesus' big thing, his signature move, that he tells this story. Here, sit down, he says, and let's write off your debt while no one is looking. And then let's open our homes and our tables, and all the forgivers and forgiven can feast at this table of welcome in the kingdom of God together. Oh, what a scandal! No wonder they crucified him. And no wonder we who follow Jesus do so with a reckless abandon and thankfulness in our hearts for such wonderful, overflowing grace towards each one of us through the cross of Jesus Christ.
So sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. So rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to
Let us pray. God, in whom we live and move and have our being, each week our prayers join with those of Christians around the world to seek your healing grace for those in need and to pray for justice and mercy in your fragile creation. We thank you for the forgiveness that we have known through Jesus Christ and his cross, that reckless, outrageous, scandalous forgiveness that is ours through his merits. We thank you for the ways in which your Spirit can surprise us, bringing healing and hope in situations which cause us to despair. Encourage us when we feel overwhelmed. We remember before you today people living face to face with fear and violence, for the peoples of Ukraine and Syria and Yemen and Myanmar and Ethiopia and Tigray and South Sudan. We remember before you today people living with illness and suffering, those struggling with disability or waiting for treatment, for those who know grief or fear of loneliness. We remember before you people caught up in economic uncertainty, those who are bound by financial debt that they've incurred, perhaps by their own foolishness and recklessness, but who now find themselves mortgaged to the future or struggling to make ends meet. We remember before you today your whole creation, its increasing vulnerability. Teach us how to care for the rips and tears in the fabric of the world you love, so that all creation may live together in health and wholeness. And as we give thanks for all those who've gone before us in faith, we bless you again for our late Queen Elizabeth, for her courage in the face of overwhelming expectation, for her sense of duty, for her hospitality and kindness offered to so many, and for her daily trust in the example and grace of Jesus Christ. Commending again her family to your care and trusting that she lives now in your presence, we pray for our King as he assumes his many responsibilities. May he find support and strength for the way ahead, direct his steps and guide his paths in the days and years to come. These prayers we offer through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, as we offer together the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. We are looking at life and lament in Habakkuk at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke in these days, and you'll be very welcome to join us at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you can't make it in person, join us online through our Facebook page or YouTube channel where the service is live streamed. Our website and YouTube channel also tell you how you can make donations to the work of the Word of Grace through Tithely, an online giving system. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Told me to, he set free.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.